America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. To serve others in ways that promote human flourishing and create a ripple effect of transformation for generations to come. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cestrino back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories for the week of August 17th here on News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual.
Yeah, that's right. News AF back to talk about all these great news stories, including the ones that you have sent us on our brand new Google form. You can send in News AF stories anytime you see them. Use the link robhasawebsite.com/newsafnews. Any time of the week you see something that you're scrolling, even if it's not the day before News AF, you send that to us at robhasawebsite.com/newsafnews, in addition to sending them in our Facebook group on Facebook, which is Group AF. Let's welcome in the man who is wearing a limited edition hat. Nobody else can get it. He's Pickleball's top influencer and America's dad. Please welcome your friend and mine. It's Tyson Apostle.
I'm here again, guys. I can't believe I haven't missed a single week. Danny's missed a week. I haven't missed a week.
You've never missed one.
Missed two earlier this year.
Yeah, Rob missed 2 weeks earlier this year. I never have, and that's a record I intend to keep going. Yeah. So, yeah, just pickleballing over here. You know me.
You're the Cal Ripken Jr., right, of podcasting?
In that I've never missed. Yeah, my streak is the longest of all podcasters combined.
Okay. You know, Cal Ripken Jr., allegedly, Kevin Costner had an affair with his wife.
Yeah, well, he had lots of the wife had tons of time.
Is this the podcast for alleged news?
I mean, we talk about a lot of alleged news. Yeah.
Okay. Well, when did this happen? Recently?
No, back when he was playing baseball.
Who was playing baseball? Cal Ripken Jr.
Was playing baseball, and then while he was supposed to be playing baseball, Kevin Costner was supposedly having sex with his wife.
Mm-hmm. Well, so Kevin Costner wasn't playing baseball at this time.
If you think about it, someone like Cal Ripken's the perfect person to cheat on. His schedule is so well known.
Very dependable.
And you know he's never going to like forget his keys and come back to the house. So you're like, no, the game starts at 5. He'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be over at 5:05.
Yeah. Kevin Costner was around for the Field of Dreams baseball game. Did you watch that this week?
It was the most viewed, what was it, baseball game in decades.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't watch it. I saw screenshots of it. Did they really emerge from the cornfield, or was I looking at a screenshot from the movie?
I don't think they put the baseball players in the corn.
Okay. All right. It's kind of scary. Mm-hmm. Like if anyone emerging from a cornfield, a dark cornfield is ominous.
You're thinking more of Children of the Corn then.
Or in many horror movies where nothing good has ever emerged from a cornfield at
night.
What
about corn?
The corn comes out during the day.
Mm-hmm. And also, what about that baseball movie where those historic baseball ghosts come out and play? That was a dark cornfield at night.
Oh, yeah. What was that movie?
They were ghosts.
But they were good ghosts playing baseball.
You don't know they were good ghosts. No one interacted with them on like a personal level. What if who knows what they do in their free time when they're not watching baseball?
Bro, I think you have a negative stigma towards dark cornfields. And I don't like it.
Nothing good happens in the cornfield at night, Tyson. Okay. I dare you to wander through cornfields at night.
What about when you touched your first girlfriend in the corn maze?
This in is Utah, maze. Not Nebraska.
Stop. Rob's like, stop.
Where's that button? Danny Bryson, everybody.
How was that corn maze, Danny?
Guys, I'm going to talk about something else. It's been on my mind. I thought about it a lot as I was falling asleep. Yesterday, while I was editing videos, I watched the entire Netflix UFOs Unclassified.
Oh, you're going to say Sexy Beasts.
No. Yeah. Which, by the way,
let me watch that.
Yeah.
If you have a show called UFO Classified, don't put an alien on an autopsy table as like your thumbnail.
Okay. So you so this is on Netflix. It's called UFOs Declassified.
Yeah. Declassified, unclassified. I can't remember. I clicked on it, watched all the episodes.
How many? Mm-hmm.
I think there's like 7 or 8.
Okay. Yeah. Top secret UFO project declassified.
Is that what it's called? Is that the full title?
So you're saying that don't put that as your thumbnail because it won't draw you in, but it did draw you in and you watched them all.
No, what drew me in was someone else mentioned that they watched it. And so I'm like, fine, I'll watch it. Yeah. Right. Cause I like a good alien story.
Yeah,
of course.
And you know what the problem is with the whole alien thing? And I was thinking about this yesterday when I was watching it. There's probably good stories, a few good stories mixed in with a lot of bad stories. One thing I thought of, and this is what I told the person who introduced me to the show. One thing that makes no sense, and this goes back to an episode, an alien episode that happened in Phoenix in the 90s that they talk about. There's always talk about lights. And I finally thought about it. I thought, why would aliens use lights? They traveled space. They probably have amazing scanning technology.
Yeah.
But every time people see aliens, they've got all their lights on. They don't need position lights. They don't need landing lights. They don't need any of that stuff. They don't need turn signals.
What about this, that you have one UFO right behind another one? They don't have brake lights?
They don't need any of that technology. Lights. In every story, they're using telepathy to communicate. You think they need lights to see as they fly in, you know, the late in dusk?
They don't have windows?
They don't need windows. They don't need windows.
Starship Enterprise has a lot of windows.
Every story involved lights, except for, and this is these are the stories I think are more legit, the Tic Tacs don't ever have, at least not in any stories I've heard, lights. The other thing is they only seem to abduct people in the boonies. Like they never abduct Harvard.
Land a UFO in Manhattan, Danny?
Well, I don't know, but they never
Noise. That's a lot of noise, dude. If you go to somewhere where there's like
No. That's
what I'm saying is, you go
to time there is no noise coming.
But what I'm saying is, you can abduct somebody to anally probe them quite easily from a population of 200. If you're going to somewhere where there's a population of 2 million, somebody else is going to see that.
And yeah, but if you have the ability to beam up one individual,
you got to go to Snowflake, Arizona.
Arizona. 1,000 feet up above. I know Snowflake, it does talk about that. It's like you could do that in Manhattan. One person walking a dog in Central Park, you could easily beam them up.
You'd be spotted. They'll call in the National
Guard. They'd be like a Harvard grad. Can we get like a Harvard grad with some kind of science-based mind? It's just never, it's maybe always
Cochran.
Yeah, maybe.
And you know what? I don't want to discredit these people because I don't know. Maybe they're well educated. They just kept their country bumpkin accent. That's not an indication of anyone's intelligence. No. Their accent,
sure.
But it's like every single time, it's just they're alone and they're out in the woods. And people out in the woods alone, that's like being alone in a cornfield at night. It's like, if you're the kind of person who hangs out
cornfield, Danny, because that's sort of like gateway drug to get abducted.
Totally. You know, they're rolling those crop circles out there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't want to be out in a cornfield.
Yeah.
So anyway, the problem with the show, and I did like it. One was they didn't do reenactments. I guess that computer generated graphics are now so cheap that you can do cheap video game like reenactments. That look so bad. And then there's so many things I want to believe. Mm-hmm. But just don't make any sense. If you have time, you're interested in UFOs, watch it. But I think that you'll be. I mean, there's a guy who talks about working in an underground laboratory in New Mexico.
Okay.
And he talks about seeing a star chart that shows how to travel through the galaxy. Sure. He talks about exactly where the aliens come from. He talks about all of these things. Mm-hmm. But again, like everything else, there's zero evidence. He never provides anything other than fantastic stories. And that's what 75% of it is, fantastic stories and bad pictures.
So are you more in on aliens now or out?
Slightly less in on aliens, a little bit more out.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's just too much crazy mixed in with a couple good stories.
So if you were, Danny, hear me out here.
Okay.
If you were an alien and you had to probe somebody somewhere without knowing anything about anything, where are you going?
Oh, like to probe a human?
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to get a good, a diverse group of probies. I'd like to think I'd pull some from cities. I'd like to think I'd pull some from rural areas. I'd like to think I'd pull some, you know, so from deserts.
More than one. You're trying to probe as many as you can.
Why are you probing just one? If they're so scientific, the UFO people, it's like they should get a good sample. You know, that's not a good sample. Always pulling people from the country. That's not giving you a good idea of what humans have to offer biologically. I mean, a lot of those people out there, the small communities, there's not a lot of genetic diversity.
Okay.
So, I mean, I would be really interested in the cities. They'd be fascinated.
Would you volunteer, Danny?
To be abducted?
Yeah.
No.
Just to get probed.
No, even though everyone in every episode.
What if you're already going in for a colonoscopy, you're already put under, and they're like, hey, we have aliens here. Yeah, we have aliens that also right now want to piggyback off of this colonoscopy and just do a quick probe.
As it ends, just be like, could you give me a screenshot of any polyps?
I would prefer to have the aliens do my colonoscopy. I mean, I kind of feel like that they're going to have much better technology. I mean, they're going to have technology that is probably hundreds of years better than what we have. It's like,
why are you holding them on this pedestal? Maybe they're hundreds of years behind.
Carpal tunnel syndrome also.
They didn't get back here using tech 100 years behind. Everyone who was abducted in all these episodes, they all say that they weren't necessarily benevolent, but they weren't malicious in their probing.
Very business-like.
Indifferent.
Right.
Yeah, it's like a
pilot. Very professional.
Scientific. They're very professional probers, it sounds like.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, I think about that. Watched every episode yesterday in a major binge.
Okay.
Well, if anybody has ever been probed that's listening to this, get in touch with Rob at or you can just message the podcast on the website probably and let us know.
Sure.
Or let us know in the Facebook group.
Yeah.
I'm looking for people who have been taken up from cities. Okay. I don't need to hear any more stories.
Need to hear anymore.
Drinking alone out there with their pickup truck in a field. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, we got a lot of stories to get to today, so why don't we jump in?
One wasn't this was, it, but
this was a story. Yes.
Oh, I was just going to say the aliens wasn't even a story. That was just Danny watching Netflix.
We didn't even know Danny did like extracurricular research to talk about what was going on Netflix.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, I'm excited. Let's get into this first story, Rob. Sorry to cut you off there.
No problem. I was just going back to see what you were saying as we were talking about a Utah kid's birthday party gone awry. There was some birthday kids who went to go see Scales and Tails. Danny, you remember the Scales and Tails?
No, and I've heard of it. I wasn't invited to this party either.
Do you know the people that went to it?
No.
Oh, I have heard of Scales and Tails, but I've never been to Scales and Tails, but I would like to experience Scales and Tails, or maybe not after this story. I don't know what's to come. Mm-hmm. Let's hear.
Okay. So over at Scales and Tails, there was a birthday party for some young children. And
should I say what Scales and Tails is?
Sure.
It's like a reptile animal, like you can go in and then they have like they bring out animals. Here's a giant snake. They have a handler there that's showing all the kids the animals. You probably can pet some or hold some yourself. Right. And I think that's essentially the gist of it.
Yeah. And so over at Scales and Tails, they were having a birthday party and they were showing the children a lovely alligator named Darth Gator.
Not lovely.
Mm-hmm. I like the name, but the name is ominous.
Cool name. Cool name.
Yeah. And, very cool name.
The show went awry where I guess Darth Gator, true to his name, ended up turning evil and attacking the woman working there.
Tried to take the hand.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, how big is this gator? Much like Darth Vader took Luke Skywalker's hand as his own hand was taken from him by Obi-Wan Kenobi. Right. Yeah.
Betty, I am your father.
No, I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
Kenobi. Who took his hand? Count Dooku?
Didn't Darth cut off Luke's hand?
Both. They both lost a hand. His father and son.
Jerk.
Oh, so the kids are behind glass.
The kids are behind glass looking at Darth Gator. And then check out what happens. Again, this is some disturbing content, potentially.
I'm going to watch, but behind my finger cracks, so it looks like I'm...
filters out all the bad stuff.
Yeah.
So here are the kids. They're at the birthday party, and the lady opens up the door. to say, hey, kids, say hello to Darth Vader. Here he is. Pinch his face. Oh, he's got my arm. He's got my arm. Oh, he's pulling me into the tank.
No, doesn't pull. She climbs into the tank, it seems like.
In fairness.
Oh, it's doing the roll.
Doing the roll.
Yeah, it does the roll.
In fairness, I think it got her hand. It's like, come here.
No, I agree.
She had to follow it in to alleviate the pressure of it pulling and twisting at the same time.
But once you're in the water with an alligator, isn't that what they always say?
Like, no, that's the shallow water, though. That was only like a foot.
Mm-hmm.
We know. I think that the alligator's small enough. She's going to live. But is she going to keep her hand is now the what you're fighting for here.
So then here comes she's in the water. And then the hero comes along. Watch this technique, okay?
He's gonna, takes a little while.
He's gonna get into, and he's gonna get on the alligator's back. Would you do this, Danny?
Yeah, probably.
You would do.
You
this.
Have to.
I'd like to think.
Danny would be like, get my GoPro.
And then you pry because the alligator has it clamps down super hard. Oh, you can only. Never mind. Okay, keep going.
Yeah. Miriam notices the kids are laughing. They have no clue. This is insane. Yeah, the kids are like, this is the best birthday party.
The show of their life. Yeah.
Guys, and what you're thinking of is that you can hold their mouth.
You can hold his mouth shut. I know exactly. Yeah. As I was talking about it, I was like, I'm an idiot.
Yeah. Okay. And here comes this guy to save this. This other guy is of no help. This guy in the green shirt on the left, he's just like a looky-loo. Like, oh.
Is he just giving like an okay sign to the lady? Like, your hands may be okay.
He's like, you're doing keep up the good work, everybody, but I'm not getting in there.
Mm-hmm. Hey, government employee.
You guys okay? And they're just going to try to get into this, like a submission hold. I would get like a different, like delicious treat, like something like, what do gators eat?
Like, no, it's not letting go for that.
Yeah.
You need a crowbar.
No, they're not letting go because right now he's feeling threatened and that's why he's attacking. He's not letting go unless you force him to let go.
See, this is the kind of stuff you get on Nature with Tyson.
Yeah.
What if you tickled him? If you got like underneath and then. No.
I think these guys are doing the right thing, but they need to get something to pry that mouth open.
What would you get?
So
what this guy is doing right now in the fluorescent is he's keeping the alligator from spinning, which could potentially damage her shoulder or her elbow or her wrist or make.
This was just like, I think like a kid's parent. I don't even think he was like a worker there.
I think scales and tails might no longer be available. For party hire.
This was the last time you could go to scales and tails and what a finale it was. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Had a good run.
Do we want to keep finding out what happens?
You want to see what happens? Okay.
Yeah. Do
we? In Salt Lake City, by the way. Should we have our next live show at Scales and Tails?
Yes, we should.
I think they go to you.
They go to you?
They do come to you, yeah. But I don't know if this came to you or if this was at them.
Okay.
How do they get her arm out? That's the part I didn't see.
This guy's like in an MMA, like ground and pound. Oh, what did he throw at his phone?
His phone.
He's like, hey, my phone is going to get wet. Somebody put this in rice until I get out of here.
He should have gotten apple care. Yeah.
The woman is doing a great
she's
job.
She's relaxing now.
Yeah, she's like, okay.
She needs to. She honestly needs to not fight
she's
and
like,
pull.
I can get used to this.
Kudos to her for just chilling. That's hard because I'm sure she's in quite a bit of pain.
Yeah.
Does shock help you chill a little bit?
I mean, I don't. I think everybody's different.
Wait, what's going to happen, Tyson? The alligator's just going to get bored?
I think the alligator's going to let go at some point and then start trying to fight the dude off the bat.
Okay. Oh. Moving.
See?
Moving.
Oh, and she has it with her legs.
Okay. She's out. And now how does the guy get away from the alligator?
He's got to pin down the
mouth. He has to die.
The mouth. No, he pins down the mouth.
Oh, okay. Well, I like my story better. That's more.
Yeah, one of them has to die.
Yeah.
This guy's the hero.
Yeah.
I think he needs to try and get the alligator out of the water.
With the kids?
Get some duct tape.
Well, there's that shelf right there. There's that shelf right there you can get it out of. That's where I think he needs to get it out of and face it towards the water because it's going to want to get back to the water.
Tempt the gator with a child. Hmm. They love children. So, like, just kind of dangle a kid in front of its face and then let the guy escape.
Okay, so he's now on top of the gator. And when it comes to second place in this video, I don't know if we're going to see his exit.
We will.
Yeah, they're not going to show that. It was gruesome. He jumps out of the alligator.
Look at this guy.
Incredible. That guy's a hero. That was incredible. And kudos to that guy for stepping in. Looked like he knew enough about alligators to like know to stop the alligator from doing the death roll. I think that's what they call it. Mm-hmm. And for reals, that's not even a joke. They do call it the death roll. And so he stopped it from doing that on the woman. And then he pushed it into the back corner and jumped and ran. And I've been to Gatorland before where they bring out alligators like that. And they're always so chill, just like, hey. So that is crazy.
I would never trust an alligator.
Do we know what that woman's injuries were?
Yeah, she's in the hospital. She was on the Today Show. She's smiling in her pictures. I'm assuming that she...
like a bodybuilder smile where she's flexing and trying to look happy or like she really does look happy.
She had to get surgery, but she said on Facebook that it should result in full use of her hand. And she called the man who saved her. Last name is Weisselman. I'm trying to get his for Donnie Weisselman is his name.
Donnie, he was there. Cool name.
He was there with his stepson and new wife.
Oh, dude! I bet they made love so hard.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
This is, you know how he celebrated?
Yeah, Danny already told us.
Well, maybe later, but he said, once I knew things were under control and the EMTs were coming, I went outside and smoked a cigarette.
Oh, yes, this guy.
You know?
I love it. Oh, I'm laughing at my own joke. I like
probably this
storyline after the gator wrestling that happened.
Mm-hmm. He gets married to this woman. She's like, you can never smoke again. He's like, fine, I'll do it for love. Then he wrestles this gator. And then after he wrestles this gator, his new wife is like, you can do whatever you want right now. He's like, I'm going to go smoke a cigarette.
Wrestle me like you did that gator.
Yeah. And she's like, okay. So he walks out and he's like, and that's cool too for the kids, because I bet a lot of kids have never seen a smoking a cigarette. Smoke.
Mm-hmm. And what a way to endear yourself to this new stepchild.
I think too, America in general.
Do you think this was
Philip Morris is calling this man right now as the number one cigarette influencer.
Donnie. Hey, this is
Philip from Philip Morris and Co.
You're the new face of smoking.
He's the new Marlboro man.
I would have thought less of the guy if he'd gone out and vaped. So I'm glad he was old school.
A real cigarette. The cigarette. There's no vapor that's wrestling an alligator.
And by the way, a guy who smokes, it doesn't surprise me, is also the kind of person who would jump in and wrestle an alligator. Because in both instances, you're accepting death as a possibility of that activity. Yeah, it's like, now I'm used to this.
I do
my
this
cigarette,
every day.
Kid. I'm going to get this gator. Mm-hmm. What an awesome dude.
So, he is awesome.
He is awesome.
On the podcast?
Like, honestly, he's done two things in his life that I would never have the guts to do. And so I totally respect him. Smoke or, I don't know. I'd like to think I'd jump in and save someone from an alligator, but the honest truth is, I don't know if I would. That guy didn't even think, dude. He just put the cigarette in his stepson's hand and jumped right in.
So we have some official comments from Scales and Tails. They had an official comment about the situation. They called it the sort of event we hope never happens.
But they've hired Donnie as a safety coordinator.
Even with the inherent risks that we as the staff accept.
Yeah, they can't. I don't know if they'll recover from this. Or maybe requests will shoot through the roof. Mm-hmm. Possibility that,
hey, you know what?
You might see something extra.
If I'm going to a Scales and Tails show, I'm like, hey, you never know what's going to happen.
Scales and Tails.
I mean, you go to in the old days, you go to one of these things. It's like, oh, yeah, it's very boring. Alligator's not going to do anything. It's like, oh, but might get the lady.
Every party needs a Donnie, though, to keep things under control.
Yeah, especially if, like, hey, don't worry, Donnie's here.
Have you got your Donnie?
Donnie's here. Where is he? Oh, he's out smoking.
Oh, that could be a new job position. You hire your Donnie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got your Donnie on hand. Yeah, he'll keep things under control.
Okay. Let's take a moment to talk about a story that has really gotten a lot of publicity. And some of our listeners have said, wait, I don't understand. What's the big deal? There's a story that is getting a lot of pub on the internet about a man who flew a whopping 650 miles to meet a woman he met on TikTok, and now they are in a relationship.
I've heard a story like this before.
This isn't a story about flying to meet someone. This is a story about the desperation of men and the willing, the lengths they're willing to go to meet someone in this day and age.
Mm-hmm.
That's not even this day and age. I met somebody whose first name is Tony, last name Flacos, mm-hmm. yeah. something.
Sounds right.
He was on Survivor. Yep. He told us a story of meeting girls in chat rooms pre-social media days.
Okay.
He's from New Jersey. He would fly down to Miami, get a tan, mm-hmm. and then I believe he flew to London, England from Miami with his new tan, Florida tan, to go on a first date with someone he met in a chat room.
Well, that does sound like the kind of wild plan a Tony Vlachos type would do. Why couldn't he tan in New Jersey?
Yeah, why not go to a tanning bed?
Maybe it's winter.
I mean, I don't know the whole ins and outs of the story. I just know that I wouldn't do that.
Dude, that's what a Donnie saves a woman from an alligator. Tony flies to Miami to get a tan before meeting someone from a chat room in London.
Yes, exactly. So
names make a difference.
Does he stay overnight, or is he just has a connecting flight and then just goes out to the parking lot for 8 hours and then gets back on the plane?
Everyone knows the asphalt is the best place to
stay. Yeah, that's because it's 40 degrees hotter than the actual air temperature, so you can really get a good tan.
He just lays out there on a sheet of aluminum foil.
Yeah,
and then gets back on the plane.
That plays into my desperation commentary earlier. I mean, men are desperate and they'll go to great lengths to meet.
Yeah, well, women are traveling 600 miles to meet a Tinder
guy. Exactly.
I mean, but is 600 miles that far?
No, it's really not that far. It's a short flight.
He flew 600 miles.
That flight probably cost him $200 on Allegiant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that much.
So if he had done it on horseback, 100
then you're crazy. Yeah. But 100 years ago, they would have sent you a telegram via Pony Express and said, hey, your wife is here. We've arranged this marriage for you. And then you ride 600 miles to settle, make your new settlement and marry the person you never met.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I still think this is impressive in that it's like that there's a financial cost. You don't know anything about this person really. I mean, we all know that the internet isn't.
How many people meet online and then go meet each other? What's the big deal?
I'm going to look at the next plane load of people I'm sitting with in a different way. Like, how many of you are on your way to meet a stranger? Hands up. Everyone on the plane.
I mean, probably to a certain degree, because every time I'm on a plane, there's a good chance that that is the case. Yeah. But I think if you have substantial evidence that they're a real person.
What's substantial evidence over the internet?
So let's say
you've seen deep fakes.
Yeah, but let's say you make a connection with them and you.
With who? How do you know who you're making the connection with? That's what I'm talking about.
Well, you look through their TikTok account, you can see maybe they have their Instagram link to it. Somebody could build an elaborate.
Yeah, you can limit your exposure to a fraud, but I don't think you can completely eliminate it.
Right, but you just meet somewhere in public for the first time, and if it doesn't, then you're like, okay, worst case scenario, I got a pretty cheap trip to North Dakota.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but if a horn dog who just flew 650 miles, if you're mm-hmm. like, yeah, I want to meet at this motel, he's like, oh yeah, so do I. And then he's like, doesn't even care. He doesn't even see the cheap motel. He just sees, what he wants love? To see.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't see love. That's not necessarily, was that supposed to be some type of negative scenario, Danny?
Well, then I'm saying he gets robbed at the cheap motel.
No, these people are in love.
Yeah. They're in love, dude.
Yeah. Okay.
So he's demonstrating some kind of impulse.
Yeah.
Love.
I don't know. Like, who's making money on this? Like, I feel like that this article got like so much promotion where the New York Post was promoting it, and all these other websites were highlighting this.
Somebody
person.
Did.
Like
the TikTok person, probably this their publicist got
their
the story
publicist
pushed
got
out.
This article,
yeah, because this isn't even the first time that this happened, and it's for sure not the longest trip somebody's taken. I gave you an even longer trip that someone took, and they made a stop to get a tan first.
Well. Starting with Eric Laval on Twitter, people are saying, I flew longer than this to see Rob Cesternino.
Hmm. That's true.
That's an indication of greater love. Your love can be measured in miles.
Mm-hmm.
The miles you flew to visit. Because I would fly up to Seattle to see Liz, my wife, when we were dating. I mean, mm-hmm. that's got to be an indication of something.
Yeah.
But honestly, this is the kind of story that reappears because people love it. And I think news people on a slow day will pick it up because they know it's a good go-to story. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Was it a slow news day yesterday? I guess not that much happening.
Yeah, not much going on around the world.
I mean, yeah, that's what everybody's been complaining about. Just like super not enough boring, news. No news.
Not all enough right, news,
run this,
more
run
news.
The TikTok dating story. Okay. How would you guys like to hear about a 100-year-old powerlifting great grandma?
I would love to hear about that.
Dude, that's all I want to hear about.
That's a feel-good story for the week.
Those who are
She's
aging.
In the Guinness Book of World Records.
Don't care about that part.
Yeah, anybody can be in that as long as they come up with something that's ridiculous
she
that
was
nobody's ever wanted to do.
And started mm-hmm. weightlifting. And then, okay. I guess... you know, during COVID, she's like got even more into training.
Cranked it up.
Yeah.
I bet she
I like
shredded.
The story. Everything about the story is great. 91, not mm-hmm. very many people are starting new things at 91.
Yeah.
And then if you look at the picture or watch the video, it is kind of terrifying to watch her lift that. I mean, her arms, they look like Slim Jims.
Let me play the video
texture
for you.
Of Slim Jims. And also, I noticed her grip, like one is palm out, one is palm in.
Yeah, she's doing like a mixed grip here. This is from Inside Edition has this story. And let me go ahead and bring this up for you. They don't say how much weight she's powerlifting.
Dude, it doesn't matter. If she's lifting
the bar, if she's lifting
the bar at 100 years old.
There's plates. Okay.
There's plates even?
Yep. Here you go. Wow. Here is powerlifting granny. Here she is. Let's see what she's doing. Her name is Edith Murray. Here she is. Watch her. She's got like a mixed grip here.
Mm-hmm.
Bunch of people are watching. She's got a spotter.
The spotter is older than her.
She's got like a deadlift here. And the bar is up.
Boom.
Boom. She got it. Okay.
She was born, by the way.
Your legs, what? Not your back, granny. Yeah. Okay.
1921.
Yeah.
Wow.
She's seen it all.
She has seen it all. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like she's still out there crushing it. I do wish, does it say anywhere the weight? I didn't see anywhere where it said the weight.
Andrew, maybe that's not important. Looks like he might know something. Says 130 pounds on the deadlift.
That's pretty
wow.
good.
That is pretty good. Mm-hmm.
That might be how much she weighs. I'm not sure.
Do you think I could do 130 pounds on a deadlift?
I think you could.
Probably throw out your back.
Probably would hurt my back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because you got to have good technique. How much time have you been spending on good technique?
Yeah.
I appreciate anyone who's old and still doing stuff. So this is a feel-good story for me. This is a more of a feel-good story than the horny dude who flew 650 miles.
Yeah, you want to see her?
The horny, desperate dude.
Yeah, exactly.
How much she can bench?
Let's see. She benches?
Yeah, she's got the bench press. Send her to the NFL Combine.
Just to see. She'd break another world record there, I bet.
These guys look pretty bored that are watching Granny powerlift.
I mean, but powerlifting in general is not that exciting to watch.
This guy was not even looking.
Yeah, that guy.
People who are looking, they're just hoping to see something dramatic happen.
An alligator come and bite her hand.
Were there alligators there? Motivational alligators, which they always have over like motorcycle jumps, which but don't necessarily get used as often as I would hope. motivational alligators are great. And even in powerlifting, if like the powerlift was somehow saving her from being eaten by alligators, I'm all for that. Mm-hmm. Everybody wins.
Okay. So congratulations, Edith Murway, 100-year-old powerlifting granny.
Do you ever think you'd get so old that an alligator wouldn't even try to bite you? Like they might be like, I don't like
stringy. That
meat is way too aged.
Or no, because they like to eat already dead rotting carcasses. So I'm
that's
sure
true. They're not fine. Picky. They're not picky.
Maximus mom says, I need to know her life diet for being so strong at 91. I bet it's, two Dr. Peppers a day and four cigars. And those are the only two constants in her life.
Mm-hmm. He really hit one of my most annoying, the things that annoys me the most about old person stories. Well, that's why you brought it up is that I hate hearing, I drank a glass of wine and took a morning walk. And that's how I got to 110.
Yeah.
It's like, nah, that's not how.
That's what you like though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are the things you enjoyed on your way to 110.
Yeah,
but that's not how you got to 110.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, we can't say that it's not how, but it's not how everyone's going to get to 110.
Yeah, you know? You're not giving us some recipe for guaranteed 110-year-old life.
Yeah.
Although this woman could say powerlifting keeps me young, mm-hmm. and I would be more willing to agree to that because it kind of feeds into my bias, but.
I think you were either built for 110 or you weren't.
Yeah, like, that's exactly what I think.
If you were built for 110, you could smoke two packs of cigarettes a day, you know, eat red meat.
Wrestle like, alligators.
Worst case scenario, you're only getting a 108.
You think so?
Yeah.
And then smoking cigars will dramatically reduce your life.
Yeah, but people smoke their whole lives.
There's also a lot of negative repercussions from smoking that much. Not everybody feels those, but most people do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you lose a lot of friends.
That's true, which then makes you sad, which then makes you not live as long.
All right, well, there is the powerlifting granny, and then there's another granny who was not doing so well. There was a woman in the United Kingdom. She was 83 years old, and she had a very bad thing happen to her. She fell into a ravine.
That is bad, especially as at that age, like taking a fall into a ravine is always going to be a little bit painful or a lot painful, not only just physically, but also emotionally, mentally. Yeah. And what happened?
You don't want to get ravined.
And so the woman's cat decided to go and just start bringing some attention, went to a nearby neighbor. And then started meowing. And then a person followed the cat to the ravine where they found the woman.
Like the lassie of
cats.
Felines?
Yes.
That's crazy, dude.
Mm-hmm. How did you get to 108, Grandma? Didn't loyal cats and a cup of hot chocolate every morning.
I didn't even know cats could do that. Where they like? I know that collies can. Where you go and you're like, "Hey, neighbor, bark, 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 bark."
The cat didn't care about her. What the cat
that's what
cared
you think.
About was
that's
the absence of food when the owner died. So it's like, I need if this thing dies on me, I'm not going to get fed for a while.
That's what I was thinking. But then I thought it went to the neighbors, and instead of the neighbors giving it food and it staying there, it took the neighbors to the ravine.
Yeah.
Those are some patient, open-minded neighbors to be like, I'm going to follow this cat.
It's like, this cat's telling me something. Let's follow it all day.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Who follows a cat? I might follow a dog, but a cat, I'd be like, what's wrong with you?
I mean, you almost have to also give a medal to the neighbors who were willing and open-minded and patient enough to follow the cat. And who was the person that was just like, this cat wants us to follow it?
That was the neighbor. The woman's
was that
neighbor
Snuffles?
Is named
someone's falling down
Tamar Longmire. She's 38. And she followed the cat. And this is all according to the police department.
So you don't think this 38-year-old neighbor actually pushed this lady in the ravine, only to then be like, oh, that was wrong. I got to figure out how to save her.
Well, the 83-year-old woman did not tell the police that she was pushed.
Okay. Okay.
By the cat. Mm-hmm. By the lady. Do you think Matt Damon and Ben Affleck have already bought the rights?
They bought the rights to this film. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they buy the rights to every thing. They also bought the rights to the Scales and Tails story we had.
There's a lot of them balls.
There's a lot of cool movies coming out in our future.
Yeah. This is a late breaking story that got sent to us by one of our listeners. Mike Ralman sent us this on Twitter. This is a new study says that playing video games for 2 hours burns as many calories as doing 1,000 sit-ups. Are you buying this, Tyson? 2 hours of video games equals 1,000 sit-ups.
I mean, I could probably do 1,000 sit-ups if you really pressed me in like, what, 10 to 20, 30 minutes, something like that. And then sitting there playing video games, I mean, it probably has to burn some, but I don't think that it's going to tone you anywhere. So
I will say that in 2 hours
you were really gaming, you were getting real sweaty. Yeah.
So there is calorie burn taking place, especially if I'm doing like a lot of rage play.
Yeah.
1,000 sit-ups is a lot of sit-ups.
But the 1,000 sit-ups, no, this is
I did 100 sit-ups last night and that was plenty for me.
Maybe if you sat there with that Bruce Lee device that shocks your stomach muscles.
Yeah.
Maybe if you had that on, but I mean, no, there's no comparison.
Let's see.
Because we should be able to take out any major gamer and be like, hey, I do 1,000 sit-ups right now.
Tyson, it was a waste of time because instead of doing 100 sit-ups, you could have played 12 minutes of video games.
No. Oh yeah, that's true. Cause you did the math there.
Yeah.
DePete in the chat says if the video game is a Peloton, And then Thomas, our friend from the Czech Republic, says, is it sit-ups VR? That's the game. Virtual reality sit-ups. I think you do burn calories and you probably burn an elevated amount of calories using your concentration. So you're using your brain, you're using your hands a little bit. You're also probably adrenaline is going somewhat depending on the game. And I don't dismiss that they're burning calories, and maybe even they are burning 1,000 calories, but they're not working out a particular muscle in their body.
So this article also says a separate study last year also found that gamers are 21% more likely to have a healthy body weight than non-gamers. But doesn't that also mean that they're 79% less likely to have a healthy body than non-gamers?
I guess so.
Am I understanding that math wrong?
So you're saying that 21% of gamers have a better than average weight, but then the others could, that could be correct. Like, I don't know. I don't know how that works, but let me think about it for a second here, Rob. What I'm thinking is that the general population,
maybe there's a percentage that has the same.
Well, I'm thinking the general population versus the entire gamer community. There's 21% more people with the proper body weight or whatever. What's that thing? The body mass scale or whatever.
BMI.
The BMI. So I think, but also it's not just from burning calories while playing video games, because Danny will tell you firsthand when he's entrenched in like the game of a lifetime, he's skipping meals to stay there.
Yeah, that's true. Definitely skipping meals.
What game do you play, Danny?
Well, I mean, I don't play anymore, but I used to
play Halo. Lots of Halo.
Destiny, Call of Duty.
Yep.
Okay. Well,
so,
Danny, would you say that any of those purchases were a waste?
Oh, of my video games? Yeah. No, none of them. Maybe like some of the upgrades you buy, but...
Because a recent study of 2,000 Americans... can we get t-shirts made that say 2,000 Americans agree with me?
Yeah, survey people. This is survey people.
Okay. I am survey people. A recent study of 2,000 Americans found that people spend an average of $899 per year on disappointing items.
Oh, I spend way more than that, dude.
Bringing that total to $70,000 on online purchases in their lifetime that they are disappointed in.
Yep.
I easily believe that.
More. More. Yeah. Every time I buy something where people are like I'll go to the, got to get your car fixed. And they're like, oh, we actually got to switch out this part. It's going to be,
yes,
going to be a $2,500
protective coating.
No, for me, I say, well, I've spent a lot more money on a lot stupider stuff. And they always laugh and I laugh, but also I'm like, I can't believe this.
You die a little inside.
I die a little inside. So I believe that, yes, there's, I think it's more. And I think $900. Yeah. I think $900 a year seems small because I'll literally have a $900 purchase once in a while where I'm like, that was so stupid of me.
Big mistake.
Yeah. But I am getting better and I try to get better. Mm-hmm. And one thing I always have lived by is that if you're going to buy something, make sure it's better than all the other things of that thing that you already own. That's in clothing and toys and stuff.
Never
like that.
Take so a step down in your
never
purchasing.
Take a step down. Yeah. So if I'm going to buy a hat, it's got to be my new number one hat.
But you can't know if it's going to be your number one hat. I mean, you can't tell what an item is going to be to you until you actually own and use it.
That's true. So, but that's what you're, that's what I'm shooting for.
Yeah.
If I'm buying a t-shirt, it better beat all my other t-shirts, or at least in my mind in that moment, it should. But yeah, there are people in the chat are mentioning a lot of like little disappointing items. Like, Colleen's like $10 on lunch yesterday, which,
but that's not an online purchase.
Oh, an online purchase. Maybe she ordered it online and showed up.
I agree with Colleen. I was thinking food too. If you incorporate like all the bad meals you've purchased, it's going to be a lot higher.
If you ordered on DoorDash and it gets delivered to you, I don't know if that counts as an online purchase.
It should, because it's definitely disappointing a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah. So the categories include 60% in clothing, 27% in tech, and 25% of the people said also children's products.
This is the first survey person study that I wholeheartedly agree with. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You want to hear about Americans' most disappointing online purchases?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. One person said steaks that tasted like shoes.
Did you buy it from the van man?
But no, this is online.
Okay.
How about this one? Supplements to help me lose weight, but I gained weight instead. Could just play video games.
Okay. I like it. Next one. Yeah.
Okay. I bought a book that I needed for community college. And when it arrived, it was the cardboard shipping container, nothing else. That was disappointing.
Gosh, no one said the iPhone.
Nobody said that.
Or a tablet.
No.
An overhyped piece of Apple equipment.
No.
So I mean, right there, you're at $900.
And it only had one brightness button, and you could not lower the brightness. It was so bright, you couldn't use it. You could wear a mask.
A lot of these products you could avoid. Like, I wouldn't have thought. I mean, sometimes when you try to get away with the cheap, this goes back to Tyson's philosophy. Sometimes you try and get the cheap thing, right? You know in your heart you shouldn't go cheap on this item. You know, but you do because you just want to believe that it can still be good and be cheap. And then it ends up being garbage. Mm-hmm. I feel like you get caught a lot doing that. Nobody's mentioning like really big purchases that seem obvious to me. There's so much. My biggest regrets really are things like iPhones and, you know, like high end things you buy with big expectations that just end up being mediocre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
no one mentions that.
I mean, there are a lot of stuff like cameras a lot of times, because a lot of times people end up not using their cameras because they have their camera on their phone and it's like a pain to pull out another camera.
Cameras are huge. Point and shoot cameras. That's $500, $400 purchase right there. And people quickly realize that they're going to get a marginally better picture than their phone. And then they just sit in a drawer until they become obsolete. Drones. I mean, how many people have bought a drone and crashed it the next day and instantly regretted their purchase?
Sure.
I mean,
just bought
$1,200.
Well, and listen to this. I just bought a drone yesterday. And then when I linked it all up and set it up, it asked me if I wanted to buy drone insurance for $50 for the year, which I did buy, which is probably a huge waste. So I've wasted at least $50 there on drone insurance, if not hundreds of dollars on the drone.
on the drone itself. And when you, Tyson asked me about this drone and I was torn because I, for me, it's like not the best of the best, you know? So he's trying to get this cheaper drone,
but it's a nice drone.
It's nice enough, but you, whenever a person asks you about a product, and this is probably another reason people buy purchase things that they regret. They talk to other people whose perhaps their idea of what's good isn't in line with what they think is good.
Right.
And so the regret on a suggestion, I think that happens all the time.
Well, so for me, I wanted a teeny tiny drone I can put in my pickleball bag.
Yeah, that fits. And it makes sense. It's just you never know. Like for me, I was kept thinking, man, I don't know if the image quality is going to be good enough for Tyson because the sensor is so small. But you know what? Maybe it'll work out.
But I'm just going to have it hovering just a little bit above the court and get just like a bird's eye view of playing pickleball, right, which is what I think that's what the masses have wanted is some pickleball drone footage.
Well, I agree with this study. And if they had called me, I may not have answered it, but this is a study that I can definitely agree with.
Danny, are you ready to take us to your bolt hole?
Yeah, I just was checking my stories.
I'm ready to get loaded.
Yeah. All right, here we go. So here is Danny's world famous bolt hole.
Welcome to my bolt hole. You're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Yeah.
Clue.
Oh, before we get into this, Danny.
Yeah.
The largest purchases, the most wasted money, maybe not the most wasted money, but I bought an overly priced TV and I see people in the chat mentioning that. And I could have definitely spent way less on a TV that I would not have even noticed the difference.
Boy,
in. Yeah.
Now, I feel like this is a major concession on your part, Tyson, because you have long debated with Danny about how Danny is famously the guy. I have no TV.
TV-less. I think you need a TV. It's nice to have a nice TV, but I could have definitely spent half the money for something that, to my eyes, would have been.
You can't discern. You know, you don't have that discerning eye between 5K and 8K.
Well, some people do, I feel, or they like to think they do. And
they
that's
like to
fine.
Think they do.
If they do, but I am not ashamed to admit that I don't.
Well, now you know. Next purchase will be different. And
maybe, like a learning machine. I wouldn't have learned my lesson at all. Hopefully, I can keep this TV for multiple lifetimes to come.
Yeah.
Oh, multiple lifetimes.
Yeah, a lot of these TVs last 30, 40 years.
This better.
Mm-hmm.
I have a TV in my basement that the guy refused to take out because it's one of those projector TVs. It's so big, you need a crane.
Okay.
And it's just sitting here in the basement. It's got to be 25 years old.
Why don't you hook it up old. For your kids?
Oh, my kids play Xbox on it. Okay. They used to. Now that's they just leave cool. it on.
No, now TVs on. Last a couple of years. That's it. They make it so they break after a couple of years.
Right. I always feel like that's an actual scam. I don't have any survey research on that, but I do feel like the 2 years, everything seems to fall apart after 2 years.
TV it's is very like, suspicious. Let's include the self-destruct feature.
At 2 years, right after the warranty expires.
Like if they sold you a TV that is like, actually, this one comes without the self-destruct feature. Buy that one. I mean, that's worth its weight in gold.
Well, I think you buy... Obviously, you got to choose what price range you're comfortable with buying. And then you go with, so you set your budget, buy the biggest TV you can buy with that budget.
Okay.
This is your advice?
Yeah.
Okay. You just talked about your regrets. Do people want to take advice from someone who is experiencing regret?
No, I think because I could have gotten a bigger TV for half the price. And it was the same resolution, etc. I just went with one that they, for some reason, was ranked way better.
All right. Well, let's talk about best friends. Since we're all best friends.
Yes.
Yes.
If you think back to your childhood, how did you come about most of your best friends?
I never had one.
My best friends that I have now?
Yeah. No, when you were a kid.
When I was a kid in grade school. It was all neighbors and neighbors, church, and school.
All right.
And extracurriculars. So like I did swimming. I had some friends in swimming.
Yeah. Great answers. And with school starting up, my kids just started going back to school today, this morning. Mm-hmm. There is a study out. This very, yeah, I know. My wife was all sad. I thought,
sad.
I need to record you when you're complaining about them being
going
here.
To college.
So when you talk about being sad that they left the house, you'll be like, yeah, well, this is how you were 12 hours ago mm-hmm. with these kids. So but anyway, some sociologists in Hungary, they did a study of 40 different schools and they found that, here, I'll read the headline. Okay. Your oldest childhood friends can be the people are very likely to be the people you are randomly placed by at school, meaning you were put in a seat next to other people and you became friends. They make this study sound like it's a big deal, but it just says that you're 7% more likely to become friends with a good friend with someone if they were placed next to you in class. And they say that this is a good way to maybe mix up who you're friends with. If you're a teacher and you're looking at assigning seats and maybe you feel like someone needs to diversify their friend group, you could try to engineer, socially engineer a friendship.
What power do teachers have of saying like, okay, well, let's see, who's going to be friends for the next 40 years? All right, you're friends with you. You're the best man in this person's wedding.
I disagree with this because I famously always had to sit as far apart from my closest friends in my class.
Because you're too disruptive.
So I don't necessarily think it was the person that was sitting next to me in class. It was someone from my class, but you all go to recess together. You all eat lunch together. You all goof around in class together. So for me, it was people in the class, but I don't necessarily remember them sitting next to me. And I think once the teacher discovered that we were friends, I had to sit next to the teacher and then my friend had to sit in the very far corner.
Again, the odds aren't huge. And here it says the team's analysis found that students who sat next to each other had a 22% likelihood of becoming mutual friends, 7% higher than if they did not. So it's not like a big deal, but you could, as a teacher assigning seats, try. And it, you know, what teachers, I don't know what they, you know, what kind of fun they have teaching, but this is one of the small perks of maybe being a teacher. You could try and create friendships that last a lifetime. And then you could take pride in that. Like,
you definitely could.
Tommy would never have been friends if I hadn't sat you next to each other.
So here's a hypothetical. Let's say Danny and I sit next to each other in kindergarten and first grade, our teacher's places there. We become best friends. Danny ends up being a bad seed later in life.
Naturally.
Lures me into committing a bunch of crimes. And then when we go to court, I blame it on the kindergarten teacher.
You're right. You know, with all that power comes some responsibility.
You have to be liable if you're going to create the friendships, right?
Yeah. And if they, you know, if you can get them to confess on tape, like going with a wire to your first grade teacher and say, why did you sit me next to Danny?
So they could be friends for
and
a
then
lifetime.
She's like, are you wearing a wire? You're like, no, you like rip off your shirt, but it's in your pants.
Uh-huh, obviously.
But then she spills. You're like, yeah, I sat you next to him. I thought you guys would be good friends. And I got you. FBI storms in, handcuffs her.
Everybody get down.
Or she could even go even further. Be like, I always saw him as a bad seed and you were a decent seed. So I thought putting you together would help him. But in actuality, what it did was create.
That's taking it to the next step. Right. That's really, you would really have to know your students. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's a good incentive for teachers to get to know their students. But anyway, just know that maybe when your kids come home from school, ask them who they're sitting next to.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, that find out all you can about their families. Yeah.
And run a background check on that kid.
Yeah. Do some Facebook stalking and find out all you can, because that's probably your kid's newest, bestest friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how far are you willing to travel to see, to learn about your friend, kid's
more than
friend.
600 miles,
not even down the street.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
I still don't know the name of most of my kids' friends.
Are you, because Danny, your kids are older than Rob's and mine?
My oldest is 11.
Yes,
oldest.
So he is probably hanging out with friends quite a bit, right?
Yeah,
after school and stuff, going to friend's house
and a neighbor.
Okay,
those are his two best friends.
And do they come over to your house to hang out mostly?
Yeah,
or do they go
only
somewhere else?
Really come over to this house.
which I think is, that's what you want as a parent. Right?
Everybody says that. And then when they're at your house, you really annoying. Wish they weren't there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's how we have some neighbor kids that come in once in a while and they'll just walk straight through the front door. And then all of a sudden I'm babysitting seven kids.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's what I'm talking about.
Yep.
So you're like, oh, it's cool. I can monitor my kid, but at the same time, I wish they were somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I'm going to have to clean up after them.
Yes.
So all right.
Danny, cool. Great job on the bolt hole.
Yeah, Danny, really A plus job today.
You guys, my confidence is going to be through the roof for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you got coming up, Danny? Any adventures?
Oh man. You know what? I don't know. I've got the monsoon. Tyson's got his monsoon season and sometimes it spills over up here.
Oh,
and
are so you going to get some rain?
Yeah. We're getting some of that monsoon love. Dangerous to be up in those mountains with the lightning.
But you're going to clear out some of that smoke then with that rain.
Oh my gosh. So much smoke. California's really imported a lot of smoke.
Yeah. That's crazy. So that'll be good.
Exported a lot of smoke. Yeah, it will be good. And plus we have a huge fire just north of here. Burning a lot of trees. So yeah, I don't know how much I'll be doing in this monsoon season. With flash flooding and the lightning.
Yeah. Well, that's good though. You need that rain.
Oh yeah. How do you play pickleball in those soggy courts? You got indoor courts?
No, they're all outdoor, but we just usually able to play. Yeah. No, I don't play when I'm going to slip. If it's slippery, I won't. But like it rained last night pretty hard, but the courts are dry now, so I could go play. And then it's probably going to rain later tonight, but I'll have gotten some play in before then.
Okay. Yeah, it looks like it might rain here today. But Tyson, I just realized you've traveled more than 650 miles for pickleball, haven't you?
Sure. Yeah, multiple times.
So that's really a great indication of your love for the sport.
For the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really is. Rob, what do you have coming up?
Tonight, I'll be talking about the fifth best Survivor season of all time, as voted by the fans of Rob as a podcast, Survivor China.
I like how you didn't share any liability in it being fifth place. Voted by the fans.
It's not my number five. Okay. But that was what the fans voted. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it'd be like, you, why'd you make this that high? And sometimes things are higher than I would have them.
Okay. And
also, you might think this is interesting. I watched Robin and Keeping You to podcast. I watched half of the Fast and the Furious franchise of films, with my co-host Akiva watching the other half. And then we watched them all on 3X. And then tried to see if we could figure out what was going on. We traded off movies. I watched the odd numbered Fast and the Furious movies and he watched the even ones. And then we came back and after each one and recorded and filled each other in.
So how long does 3X speed take to watch that? At probably watch, like 40 minutes.
A 2 hour movie is about 40 minutes on 3X.
That's incredible.
Still too long.
I gotta say, no, Danny, I was engrossed. I you're watching.
Because you're hyper-focused or what?
Hyper-focused. You turn, you blink, Tyson, you're going to miss something. You're on the edge of your seat watching a movie at 3X.
But do you get to watch, do you catch everything? Is that a good speed?
No, you're holding on for dear life. It's a roller coaster, baby.
Dude, how many cigarettes did you have to smoke after watching?
Oh, I needed one.
On 3X.
I mean, because those cars are going what, like 130, 140 miles an hour. 3X, they're going like over 400 miles an hour.
That is furious.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, much respect to you, dude. I bet you burned so many calories watching that.
I easily lost at least like 40, 50 calories watching those movies.
It's incredible. Well, you look good.
Thank you.
I bet you clams, chocolate, and Fast and Furious at 3X are all aphrodisiacs.
Yeah. If you could just always have that playing in the background.
I did not. That's just so much action packed into one. So much muscle cars, helicopters, explosions.
Yeah, but everybody's voice is like a chipmunk, right?
Oh, you can't listen to it with the noise on. Right?
I mean, you have to listen to the noise on. Yeah.
You can't make out a person's dialogue at 3X.
I think can you not? Can. It depends.
I'm under number 3X right now.
Yeah.
At 1X, I had to really pay attention.
I had the subtitles on also.
So you were trying to read.
Dude, that is 3X. Psycho. How are you not in the hospital?
How many seizures did you have?
None.
Yeah, really?
None yet.
Dude, you're a specimen, Rob. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. Congratulations to you. Did you contact the Guinness Book of World Records at all?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Powerlifting granny.
Yeah.
So
they were visiting her. They only have one team that goes out at a time.
Yeah. Get them over to your house next time you do that. A 3X Fast and Furious binge.
Anything else?
Recommend it.
Anything else cool coming up like that?
No, nothing
Rob,
because
that was
cool
a great
like
idea.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
You'll never top that.
Yeah.
You just peaked.
Yeah, yeah, you really
I'm
did.
I'm going to start calling some play-by-play of some Madden simulations on Twitch.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Who with?
Different people. Okay. Just people who want to do color commentary on.
Why Madden?
That's the preeminent football video game. They have a new Madden 22 coming out. I'm going to simulate an entire season of Jets football before the start of week one.
To see if they can win?
See if they can get in the playoffs.
Good.
See if you can get a gig announcing real games?
No, well, that'd that would be the dream. My boyhood dream was to be a sports play-by-play announcer. So this is like as close as I get.
You know what sucks about that dream is that I feel like if you're a sports announcer, once you're locked in for life. Because I hear the same voices that I heard 30 years ago announcing football. They're not. Yeah, they're tenure. They're not really letting up those positions.
Mm-hmm. No, they're not. You got to get in, and once you're in, you keep it.
Well, they do get a lot of new like players like come through, but then it's they sort of like replace each other.
Yeah, exactly. The players come in to contribute for a while. They
New
move
hotness.
On. But the core of the panel is always the same.
I'd like you to be the voice of the Jets.
Yeah.
I would watch Jets games if that was the case. Yes. I really would.
Okay. Fake ones or real ones?
Both. Real ones.
Yeah.
Oh, you're not tuning into the fake ones.
I just want to be clear. I will not be playing the video games. I'm going to be watching simulations of video games. Right.
Correct.
Yes.
So, but are you... Is it someone you know playing the video games?
No, it's the computer playing the computer.
Oh,
you
nice.
Won't burn near any calories, by the way.
No, I don't think so. Well. Probably not.
He might by talking.
Yeah, but that's the same as podcasting.
If your adrenaline gets going.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I don't have anything that exciting coming up. Just trying to visit the courts in between monsoons. And the monsoon season has been crazy here. Dumping, torrential.
Thunderstorms?
Really nuts. Yes. Incredible thunderstorms.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona is famous for thunderstorms. And like I said, if these monsoons keep up, then we will be the new Garden of Eden over here in Arizona.
Tyson, do you ever think that if you just talked about pickleball in terms like that, like if somebody's asking you like, oh, Tyson, what do you do for a living? Like, well, spend most of my time in court. Like they'll think, I guess he's a lawyer.
They could think that.
Back in court, you know.
I did an interview with Men's Health magazine and they asked what my occupation was. And I said, reality TV superstar, pickleball personality, and podcaster.
Oh, wow. The big three.
The big three.
Yeah.
So be on the lookout for that. Men's Health.
Also wait, is that a real thing? Is that going to come out?
Yeah.
Oh, exciting.
And Vanity Fair will be coming out later in the year as well.
With the photo shoot.
So,
yeah. Okay.
All right. Look at you.
Thank you all so much for joining us here today. We'll be back next time with more News AF. Take care. Everybody have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.